Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast. My special guest today is Ian Anderson, Head of Recruitment, Assistant Professor of Acting and Voice at Valdosta State University. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ian.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim.
So, as always, we like to get to know the person before the program on this podcast. So, if you could tell us a little bit about your background, your training, your career that led you up to your time at VSU.
Absolutely. So, I'm a transplant from the Midwest. I guess if you can consider Colorado the Midwest. I came from Colorado. I got my BFA from the University of Colorado too many years ago. I don't want to let on. And then I spent about 15 years working as a professional actor, primarily working in classical theater. Shakespeare paid my bills for a number of years, so I feel like I got to pay it back to him. And then I went to grad school at the University of Alabama, and coming to the South, I haven't left. I've been here for about 8 years now. I've been at VSU for 4 years. And as far as my training, again, mostly classical theater, a lot of stage combat, the like. But I also have spent a number of seasons with professional musical theater companies as well. So, you know the actor's lifestyle, right? We do what we can to pay the bills.
That's how you're successful. So what classes are, do you see, at what point do the students see you in class at Valdosta? What do you teach?
So I teach voice and diction, which every single student is going to have to come through. And that's just an introduction to voice for the stage. So we do, it's kind of a pastiche class. We touch on a variety of different techniques to help acquaint the students with their speaking instrument. And then they'll encounter me in scene study, acting two. I'm trying to think of things that everybody, stage combat, if you are in the performance track. If you're not in the performance track, if you're in musical theater, you won't be required to take stage combat, but you'll have the opportunity to, should that be something that interests you. Fundamentals of acting, so a lot of the standard acting classes. Period styles, as we get further into the curriculum.
So you brought up the tracks, so let's talk now about the degree that it's a multi-track BFA in theater that you offer. So tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So Valdosta State is a BFA exclusive program. We don't have a BA at all. We are a pre-professional training program. We have five individual tracks within our BFA. We have a musical theater track, a performance track, theater production, which houses both costume, lighting, scenic design, stage management. We have a theater management track, and then we have a dance track. And they all, while they exist independently and they all have their own senior curriculum, they begin together and branch out from there. So we have what's called an Area F, which is our core curriculum, that all students within the BFA have to take. And then from there, the curriculum diversifies.
And I'm sorry, what did you just say that you call your core curriculum?
The Area F. And that's a USG thing. I don't know.
Okay. great. So you said that they all start together. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry. Within our context, so... just to contextualize Area F, we have Area A, Area B, Area C, Area D, Area F, and so on. And so that's the core curriculum typically falls in the lesser, the less significant portion of the curriculum, I guess, if you'll indulge the term. It's the things that need to get out of the way first.
I will indulge. All right. So if you're telling us that they all start together, let's walk through that freshman year, the first year student going onto campus, beginning their BFA theater at VSU. What are they studying their first year?
So the classes that you have to take in your first year, we are a conservatory-esque training within a liberal arts education. So you're going to take 77 to 90 credits within our curriculum, but you do still have some core curriculum outside, some general studies that you have to satisfy, and we try to get a lot of those out of the way in that first year. So you'll take I'm typically an English 1101, a math 1101, a poli sci 1101, and then you'll take introduction to theater, and you'll take dance history, and then musical theater students start off immediately taking private voice. So they have, when you're a freshman and sophomore, you have weekly half-hour private voice lessons, which culminate with a studio every Friday, where you get to show everybody else, all the other freshmen, all the other sophomore, what you've been working on that week. And then as you progress into the junior and senior curriculum, that goes from a half an hour every week to a full hour every week. So that's your first semester. Your second semester would be English 1102, science with a lab, a history class, and then voice and diction and fundamentals of acting.
Mm-hmm. So at what point do those five tracks start to split off from each other and do their own thing, and then walk us through the MT and the performance or acting track?
Absolutely. Typically that happens around the sophomore year. And they will move into, I'm pulling up the exact course description rotation there. So as you get into your sophomore year, you'll start taking MT vocal techniques in the musical theater track, and you'll move into stage movement. Everybody will take stage movement together. Theater voice is in that sophomore curriculum, which is just a more advanced study of different vocal techniques. Sight singing would be available. Typically, we try to push that into the junior curriculum, but that is, depending on how advanced you are, we do have a sight singing one and we have a sight singing two. So it kind of depends on where you come in at. And so that's, and you advance through that, you take audition techniques, and we continue through that studio session. And those, again, those private vocal sessions continue throughout the curriculum. You'll have eight semesters of that.
Great.
Yeah. And then there's advanced theater voice when you get into the upper, the advanced curriculum, the senior curriculum.
So when you say advanced theater voice, you don't mean singing. You're talking that is a vocal production acting voice.
Nope, I do class. Mean singing.
Oh, you do?
I do mean singing. Yes, I do.
Okay. So there's a separate singing class outside of your private voice lessons.
Yes, there is.
Wonderful. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay,
and within,
so
within the performance, oh, I'm sorry.
Yep, no, that's what I was just going to say.
I'm
performance
like
acting.
Crazy, I'm sorry. within the performance track, then so you advance fundamentals of acting, and then you advance into dialects, and in that sophomore curriculum, dialects, stage combat, and typically acting for the camera comes in right around there. And then we have oral interpretation, which is just a styles class, and scene study. And then in that senior curriculum, you're going to take a directing class and a at least one directing class, possibly two, a playwriting class, and period styles.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the, I'm going to bring up some of the hot questions that we're getting a lot this year from students about both acting and MT. So we'll start with acting. You mentioned there's an acting for the film or acting for film class. Can you speak a little bit more to how the theater performance class incorporates and how much of they incorporate on-camera work?
The classes themselves are how that functions in our curriculum. Is that
at the end of the 4 years there, how much on-camera experience will they have?
Quite a bit. So we have a very robust mass media program, a theater or a film production program that is housed in our same college. And they are a technical program and they're fantastic, but they don't have any performance classes there. So they come to us to pull all those performance students. And so every year there are capstone projects and the like, and we host the South Georgia Film Festival on campus every single March. It opens on Friday this year. And that's an opportunity for students to network, and we get a lot of student produced work in there as well. We do have a film club. Atlanta is the number two film market in the nation, so it's something that we've emphasized significantly. And right. I guess to answer that question, as much as you want, as long as you have the time.
We're gonna we're going to put a pin in that and come back to as much as you want, because we're going to talk about electives here in a second. But first, I want to chat about, on the MT side, a question that we're often asked is, if you are coming in as a really, really accelerated dancer, you've been dancing since age two, is there a way that you can either level up or take additional dance classes to build up your dance curriculum?
Yes, to both of those questions. We do. We level our dancers in typically in our ballet and our jazz classes, and we advance through jazz 4 and ballet 4. And so there's an opportunity to make sure that you are being challenged in every dance class that you take. Mm-hmm. Beyond the standard, we have tap 1 and tap 2. We do have ballroom, partner dance. I believe it's still on the books as social dance, which is odd. And then we also have aerial silks, and we have a couple of specialty dance classes in there as well.
Great. And on the same line of thinking as leveling up in dance, is it possible to test out of or level up in any other areas if you're coming in, let's say APs and dual credits and things like that? Talk to us about how else you can sort of scratch things off your list before you even started.
Absolutely. There are history tests and the like that you can test out of your history classes. You can test out of English classes. We do accept AP. We accept IB. We accept dual enrollments. So there are numerous opportunities to get rid of a lot of those core requirements before you come in, which then opens up more electives for you as you set foot on campus.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And how many electives are a lot? Like, what? How much are you able to actually tailor this degree in the classes you're taking to the path that you want to take with your electives?
So that's a great question. So our standard curriculum is 12 elective hours, but that's super flexible. Again, taking into consideration what you bring in with you. I like to call our BFA, it's kind of a choose your own adventure BFA. There are very specific requirements that you must take. But ultimately, you go to any program to lead that program, right? And so, especially as you get into our upper curriculum, there is some latitude to kind of tailor it to where you want to go. So if you're going to go to New York, you're going to want to take as many dance classes as you can, right? If you're going to want to stay, if you're going to want to go up to the Atlanta market, you're going to want to take those acting for the camera classes and get some of that. If you're going to go back down to Orlando, maybe the aerial silks class will be something that would appeal to you, or stage combat, some of that stunt work that they love down at the parks, right? And so there is significant flexibility in that senior curriculum.
Great. That's wonderful. You said choose your own adventure. I made that reference a couple of episodes ago with another person, and then it dawned on me that those books stopped publishing 10 years before the juniors or the seniors were born this year. How about
Isn't that sad?
No one knows what that reference is, but it was a book. Remember books? Let's talk about the opportunity to minor, either in other areas, other performing arts, or in other areas at school. First is, if they do want to minor outside of the performing arts, does their BFA schedule allow for that?
It does. It's just like any other program typically. Our training is pretty rigorous, so you're going to be in our building a lot. So it depends on what program you choose to minor in, but it happens regularly. Students do minor regularly, and we even have double majors. It just, again, a minor won't necessarily add time, but a double major, typically, we say count on at least an extra semester, if not two. And if you're in music, ironically, if you want a double major in music, it's going to add even more time, because we have such similar commitment requirements as far as chorus and productions and the like. So
that overlap.
But it does... It does happen regularly that students minor.
Great. And do you encourage that? Do you encourage students to study other things?
We do, absolutely.
Great.
It's one of those things, we do get rid of some of those core requirements within a BFA. We understand that math, science, and history are all vitally important subjects, and if you don't have a basic understanding of those, you will be a fatally uninteresting human being and therefore a fatally uninteresting performer. But I would absolutely encourage you to go out and find the other things that drive you.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't stay there too long, right?
Let's talk now about the performance opportunities. So both for the acting track and the musical theater track, you have a very interesting opportunity over the summer there, and we'll chat about that separately. But let's talk about during the school year, what are the performance opportunities like?
So our philosophy is we cast the person that's right for the role. We don't have any limitations as far as not allowing freshmen to audition or anything like that. It is, you come in and you audition. We expect you, if you are placed in a track, we expect you to audition every single opportunity you have. Because as we all know, when you get out in the industry, that's going to be your job more often than not. You're going to be auditioning, right? And so we want to build that up. We have a 6-show main stage season, typically consisting of at least one large musical and one large period piece. And then we have in our black box space, we tend to run, for lack of a better term, our itchy, scratchy pieces, those pieces that might be a little more challenging. We just closed The Wolves in our black box space, which is a great piece. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, but it has some language that might make Grandma and Grandpa blush a little bit. And so those are we tend to program those kind of pieces in our smaller space. And we will get musicals in there every once in a while. We had Hands in a Hard Body in there 3 years ago. And so, and then we have a touring theater for youth production every spring. And we have a big dance that does incorporate actors as well every fall. And that's our standard rotation. So we've got the big musical, big period piece, the two smaller pieces that tend to be a little more challenging as far as content, the Theater for Youth touring production, which rotates every 3 years between a dance piece, a play, and a musical, and then the dance concert. So that's our main stage season. But then we also have, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
Okay. We also have a cabaret that happens every fall. It's a big musical theater extravaganza, and it's actually a scholarship dollar fundraiser, but it is a class, and it's a big, like I said, we incorporate thematically appropriate musical theater pieces, and it's a big gala event for donors.
So all productions are open for all tracks to audition?
They are.
And are your productions open university-wide? Are other majors also auditioning?
They are. We will consider anybody. One of the restrictions that we do have is in order to graduate with a BFA in either performance or musical theater, you have to have at least 3 performance credits, and it's tied to the class. Every performance is a class. It's and so we track it through the degree that way. So we do tend to limit outside participation in favor of our majors, just to make sure that they are getting the credits they need and also getting the experience that they need.
Mm. And I mentioned briefly about an opportunity for summer work and summer performances there. Do you want to share that with us, please?
Absolutely. So we're home to the Peach State Summer Theater, which is the official musical theater of the state of Georgia. It is a professional repertory company that is housed on our campus, and we are going into our 31st season this next summer, and the season typically consists of 3 separate musicals. This year we're doing Cinderella, Ain't Misbehavin', and Sister Act. Pretty challenging season. I'm pretty excited.
That's a lot
about it. Yeah. The artistic director, so Peach State actually just hired a brand new artistic director, a gentleman by the name of Hank Ryan. And he came on, he's directed at Peach State for a number of years, but he was just hired as the new artistic director, and he's revamping the season structure, but we're keeping that 3-show general season. This year he had 90 contracts. We do hire typically on average anywhere between 6 and 12 of our students for roles ranging from actor tech roles. We do have one student actually that's taking on 2 significant roles this year. And so there's plenty of opportunity there to network, and we're bringing in actors from all over the United States to fill the other roles.
Talk to me about, you said you typically hire between 6 and 12. Is that something that you have set aside, like we're only going to hire 12, or is there not really a number? It's just on average, that's how many happen.
There's not really a number. That's just on average what typically
okay.
happens.
Yeah. Okay. So on the flip side of that too, I have had students come to me before and say, well, Valdosta has the Pete, like I'll be working at the Peach State. And I said, well, no, that's not guaranteed. It's an audition like any other, but it just happens to be in your backyard.
It happens to be in your backyard. And also, Hank Ryan is a part-time member of our faculty. He is an associate professor in our faculty. So they get a chance to know Hank and work with Hank in classes. And Hank directs as part of our academic season as well. So they get a chance to know the artistic director who's doing that casting. So it does give them a significant leg up.
Great. And do you find that a lot of your students are working in other places as well over the summers? Do a lot of your, are they getting professional work?
They are, absolutely. Our current students, I mean, so we go to SETC next week, and we have 24 students going to SETC, and typically we have pretty good placement through mm-hmm. through those SETC professional auditions. We've had a lot of students going to Montana recently, oddly enough, both to
randomly enough,
to, yeah, and Virginia City Players, and then I'm trying to think of places. We do have some contracts pretty regularly with some of those big outdoor dramas up in North Carolina, both mm-hmm. Under These Hills? Yeah, Under These Hills and mm-hmm. Horn in the West, those kind of companies. We have significant placement there. And then we do – I'm sorry, I'm racking my brain trying to remember exactly where everybody's been going in the last couple of years, but we do regularly place actors in companies through
That's
SETC
great.
And then beyond that, yeah.
And what about professional successes after their 4 years there? I know you've only been there for 4 years, but can you chat a little bit about some previous student success?
Yeah. So we actually, we have, this is just top of mind because I'm running a panel with him on Friday, but we have a gentleman named Miles Greer who has made quite a name for himself actually out in LA, and he's coming back. He's done a number of movies. He worked he worked under Lee Daniels for a full year and has really built up his own name, his brand and reputation, and he's coming back for the film festival on Friday to talk about how he's kind of crafted what he's done. We have a number of students that are on cruise lines. That's a big thing because we've got such close proximity to all of those places. We've got a couple of students on national tours or alumni on national tours. We have a bunch of students working up in the Atlanta area. On a weekly basis, I get updates from students that are, you know, I just shot a commercial, or I'm working on this film for this week, or I'm working on this TV show for this week. And so Atlanta is a major market for us that we do place a lot of our alumni in. And then we do send a lot of students down to Orlando because that's a place that we pull from a lot too.
Great. And tell us about some other faculty that students will encounter while they're there.
Okay, absolutely. So we have 11 individuals on our faculty. We do have a full dance faculty. We have three different members in dance that all specialize in different areas. We have a PhD named Dr. Melissa Porterfield, and she's absolutely brilliant, and she's a published playwright, and she focuses a lot on our theater history classes and devised theater and some of those book classes I keep saying for lack of a better term, but there is no better term for that. She focuses on the book classes. We have Hank Ryan, like I said, who is the artistic director, and he's got significant experience both as a performer and as a director. He was the former artistic director of the Henniger Theater down in Florida and has worked a lot professionally. Duke Guthrie is the head of our theater management track, and he is also the executive director of Peach State Summer Theater, and he's been the glue that binds that company together for the last 27 years. So he's very, very knowledgeable in theater management practices and the like. Those are kind of the individuals you encounter in the performance tracks. We do have a wonderful technical faculty as well, and we buy wholeheartedly into the cross-curricular training. So you'll get to take costume history, and you'll get to take lighting design, and you'll get to take basic tech. And so you'll encounter a lot of those other professors. And I can speak about them if you'd like me to. But if there are other questions that you think would be more beneficial, I can address those as well.
That's fine. We were just looking for sort of an overview of some other key players in the faculty, and I think that that answered that question for us. You've mentioned sort of where you are in proximity, or you said you're close to Atlanta and not far from Orlando. So let's just chat a little bit about the area where Valdosta is. Just a quick hop, skip, and a jump north of the Florida-Georgia border. But sort of tell us about the area and some things that there are for students to do and student life stuff.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're nestled in this kind of sweet little pocket here. We're about 3.5 hours south of Atlanta. We're about 3.5 hours north of Orlando. We're an hour east of Tallahassee and an hour and a half west of Jacksonville. So we exist between all these major markets. And it's we're a school of about 12,000 students. So we're big enough to matter, but small enough to care. You can't really disappear into the woodwork here. All the faculty will know your name. It feels like Florida. We've got palm trees and lizards everywhere. And come August and September, it is overwhelmingly hot. But it's the winters are really mild, and we do have a lot of outdoor opportunities for performance and for just recreation. It's a very student-centric campus. We've got a tremendous football team. We've got a tremendous basketball team, and they actively encourage students to get out and participate in that student life. There are activities going on constantly. We do have something kind of cool. Have you seen the Woody Harrelson movie Zombieland?
I have.
Okay. So the amusement park at the end of Zombieland, where Emma Stone is being chased by all the zombies, that is in Valdosta. It's called Wild Adventures. Yeah, and every year, for the last 5 years at least, all the students at VSU have gotten free passes to Wild Adventures, so there's an opportunity to go out and have fun at an amusement park. But actually, as theater performers, too, we place a lot of actors out there. They participate in the Christmas extravaganza and the Halloween shows and all of that. So it's
a random
cool
claim to fame. The Zombieland.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not, I have actually visited the campus, and randomly, it was during COVID, so no one was there, but I did drive through because I'd never been and I was in the area, and it is one of the most beautiful campuses I've seen. Honestly, I think it's like a postcard, and the area is as well. It's not a big city. So tell us a little bit about sort of the life outside the walls of the university and what there is to do for students when they're off campus.
You know, for a college town, it is, you know, we got one of everything, and that's about it. We don't have two of everything. We got one of everything. We got, you know, there's a bowling alley and there's a roller rink and there's all of that. And we've got a mall that has anything you could need, but it, you know, it's not super fancy. Really, if you're coming to Valdosta, we got some really good restaurants. We've got a really nice movie theater. But if you're majoring in theater, if you're in our musical theater track or our performance track, you're going to be in our building so often that, you know, you'll know what restaurants are good and you'll know where the movie theater is, because that's your escape on the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very welcoming town. There is it has that small town feel, but there's opportunity and it's growing exponentially because there's just a lot of industry coming. We have a lot of film actually coming to town. Mel Gibson was here this last summer with Josh Duhamel and Alicia Cuthbert shooting a film called Bandit. And we're seeing a lot of that kind of movement as that Atlanta market is saturated. Some of these rural areas have started offering a bigger tax incentive for film producers to come. And so that's something that we're starting to notice a lot more of in this area as well.
Interesting.
Again, I turned it back onto acting, but as far as the town itself, if you like golf, there's a lot of really good golf courses. And you're right, it's beautiful. There's a lot of nice walking trails, some opportunities to go out and look at alligators and snakes.
Okay, let's switch gears and talk about the audition process. first, let's I always start with, do you pre-screen?
We do.
And so tell us what that process looks like for you.
So our audition process is pretty far-reaching, I guess I would say. We participate in FTC, the Florida Theater Conference. We participate in the Georgia Theater Conference. We participate in Georgia Thespians and the College Audition Project. And so we spend a lot of time, especially fall, early spring, just going out to see students and interacting with students to see what's new, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we see every year we pre-screen probably 800 students between all of the different areas that we go to.
Wow. So what are the requirements for pre-screens?
Okay, so the requirements for pre-screens. If you are a musical theater, we need two songs, two separate types of dance. Typically, we ask for ballet and jazz, and then a monologue. We'd like to see two monologues, but we'll be good with one, but ideally we'll see two monologues, and that's what we get through Get Accepted, through the Get Accepted platform, which we use regularly as well. If you're performance, we need to see two contrasting monologues. So that's the limitation on that one.
And from those 800 pre-screens that you see roughly, how many are invited for live auditions?
Typically probably 100 to 120.
And those live auditions are held where?
We do hold them on campus, and then we also hold them at the individual areas, like at Florida Theater Conference and at the Georgia Theater Conference. We have our own individual setups there, so we will host.
So those are final auditions for your students when you're going to those theater conferences. You can get an offer from them.
The secondary part of it. Yes, absolutely. You can. We won't necessarily make an offer off of your 60-second moment up on stage at FTC, but we will call you to our table and we will interview you, and then we will also set up a secondary audition there so we can see more.
Oh, I see. So that really is treated like a live pre-screen, and then you have a second audition.
Yeah.
It's an invitation.
Exactly.
Got it. Understood. Yeah. Okay. So from those live auditions, what is the number of the incoming class you're looking at for both acting and musical theater?
So musical theater, we tend to be a little more limited just because that is based on, since weekly voice lessons are mandatory and there are only so many hours in the day and only so many days in the week, that tends to limit that. So we tend to focus on, we try to bring in a class in our musical theater every year of 10 to 12 students. We have gone beyond that. We do have students that graduate in December sometimes, so we'll push that number a little bit. So it's, I would say, anywhere between 10 and 15 musical theater students in the average class. And then for performance, really, we're pushing about 25, 30 students that we bring in on a yearly basis.
Great. And so you say you do a lot of outreach, you're seeing a lot of students. 800 is a huge number of students that you see. What are the qualities of those students that are catching your eye that leads them to a second audition?
I know this is a weird thing to say, but attitude gets you a long ways in life, right? One of the things I reinforce for my students all the time, in any audition, there are only four things that you can control, or any artistic situation, there are only four things you can control. Did you show up? Did you show up on time? Were you prepared? And were you a joy to work with? And so those are the four things I look for in an audition. Were they prepared? And then honestly, attitude goes a long ways. And I do review GPAs just because I've found over the years, I can do a lot more with smart than I can with, not.
Wow.
And, you know, I can teach you how to act. I can teach you how to swing a sword. I can't imbue you with drive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there a minimum? I mean, what are you looking at when you look at GPA and test scores?
So the university does have a minimum. For me, honestly, I'm looking at 3.5 is kind of my threshold, maybe 3.2 if you've taken a lot of really advanced classes. And it's, you know, it's changing now. These kids that are coming in right now, their experience for the last 2 years has been exceptionally unique. And so that's impacted that. And for 2 years there, VSU actually wasn't even requiring SATs or ACTs because we didn't know if students would have access to the standardized testing locations. That has changed this year, but
you're back to requiring?
We are back to requiring it, yeah.
Great. So what are your words of wisdom for students that are coming to apply that has VSU on their list? Tell us what you think, that the best advice you can give.
I want to see you. I want to see who you are. Again, I'll go back to my, I will reference Shakespeare way too often, but if you're
coming, it's kind of your thing.
Yeah, it is. If you come in to read as Juliet, those words have been spoken literally millions of times. You can't do anything. I mean, you can do something unique with it, but are you actually doing it for the right reasons? If you know, Christopher Walken, those words. I want to see you. What we haven't seen is your version of Juliet. And I find in auditions, I'm looking for that 10 seconds of brilliance where all the other stuff falls away and I get to see you. I get to see who you are. Because ultimately, when you're coming into a school, it's like a repertory company. We're going to be together for 4 years. So I want to see the human behind all of that. Yes, I want to see superlative talent, but I want to see you. That's what matters to me more than anything, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's so hard for so many teenagers, especially, you know, kids who are on the stage all the time. They're always different characters. And so much of my coaching that I do with students when they're working on their material is always stripping away the schmacting, the layers of crap that they've put on, when they can just be themselves and just be a 17-year-old in that moment is not a bad thing to show. But how do we get that to happen? How does a student walk into that room and find that genuine quality when they've been taught for so long, you know, that acting is big movements and you know, it's almost it's like hiding. It's acting for the camera. Yeah. They're hiding behind something.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
No, I you know, that's the question of the hour. because it's not necessarily just, it's not confidence, because confidence can be blustery and I think it's a matter of maybe, I guess, self-confidence, trusting that you are, I'm going to be cliche here, but that you're enough, you know, that we're mm-hmm. looking for you, and that everybody mm-hmm. in that room, doesn't matter where you're auditioning, everybody in that room is your biggest cheerleader because they want you to come in and be amazing. And then they're going to fight for you. Right.
And so right.
Not getting scared of that pressure, but just letting us see who you are, walking in there and showing us, you know, every bit of you. Show us that vulnerability that we typically shy away from. I mean, that's gold on stage, right?
Exactly. I say sometimes that, you know, if you make a huge mistake in the audition room, that's an opportunity for you to show them who you actually are in that moment and how you react to that. And everything right down to what you're wearing in the audition room says a lot about how comfortable you are in your own skin. Boys do not have to walk in there with a button down and khakis, and girls do not have to all wear jewel tone wrap dresses and character heels. They can dress how they dress every day going to school, because that's what they're going to be most comfortable in. You don't have to dress up. I say, look like you put some thought into your outfit, like you're going out with your friends or on a first date, but there's no reason to hide behind any of that. And I think that that's, the talent is going to get you in the door, but your personality and that connection is going to get you accepted. So I'm glad to hear you say those things. Tell us something you're looking forward to in the coming months.
In the coming months. We have Peach Day coming up, obviously, which I'm looking forward to. I think it's going to be fantastic. We've got a they haven't announced full casting yet, and we're still auditioning some folks at SETC. But they did wrap most of their in-person auditions in early February. But they've assembled a pretty special company, and I think that'll be great. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to spring in Valdosta. It's so beautiful, and we're getting close to swimming pool season, which will be nice. And we're about to announce our season for next year, and I'm really excited about a number of the shows that we'll be doing. So there are a lot of
That's
things that
great.
I'm excited about in this moment.
That's wonderful. Everything's opening back up and we're almost back to normal, knock on wood. Hopefully we still are when this airs. You mentioned you're the head of recruitment, so you're the guy to contact. How do people get in touch if they want more information about Valdosta State University?
Absolutely. So the easiest way to get a hold of me is my email address, which is IG Anderson, and it's Anderson. If it goes to Son, it falls into some crevasse that I've yet to find the bottom of. At valdosta.edu. So it's IGANDERSEN at Valdosta, VALDOSTA .edu. And if that's not immediate enough, you can always call my office. The phone number there is 229-333-7330. Or you can go to our website and we have the contact me, and that goes directly to me as well.
That's
If you want to
amazing.
do a direct submission, we have Get Accepted. We do use the Get Accepted platform regularly. So if you go in there and search Valdosta State, you can submit straight through there. And actually, for the month of March, sorry, it started buffering there. For the month of March, Valdosta is going to waive all application fees through the university. So there's some significant savings there. We can't waive Get Accepted fees, but we can waive ours. So,
So you're still open for submissions now?
pardon me, it buffered and I totally lost that.
That's okay. I said you're still open for submissions now in March.
We actually just had our final on-campus auditions last weekend. And we've accepted half of our class, and we are going through our we've given everybody that in this last round of auditions through March 21st to accept or decline our letter. And so typically that's our cutoff date is right around March 21st. March 22nd is going to be where we're fully solidified. But if you want to rush in and get that application in, we do I review auditions on Get Accepted every single day. So,
Wow, that's good to know. That's great to know.
yeah.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for joining us and chatting with us. You're going to SETC next weekend, and I will see you there. I'm
Lovely.
not doing anything, but just I'm coming this year. I'm just gonna go for 2 days and just be there and not actually do anything or be required to do anything, I should say. So I will make
Good for
sure that I
you.
stop by and say hello.
Good for you
And
too.
thanks one more time for joining us. And we love to see your face around here, so we'll chat again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.